Penn Station is turning up the heat. Introducing the Ghost Pepper Cheese Steak. Grilled fresh with premium steak and fiery ghost pepper cheese. It's craveable, bold, and only here for a limited time. Pair it with Penn Station's famous fresh cut fries and fresh squeezed lemonade for the ultimate flavor hit. Available now through November. Get it before it vanishes. Visit Penn Station today or order on our website or app for delivery. Penn Station, love your sub. You craving what I'm craving?
Really excited today, and also really grateful because I just was informed that it's, I think, 1 a.m. in Australia. And I know that a lot of people from Australia are going to be joining this conversation because we're talking about a really great Australian brand called Hakka. And I have been a major Hakka fan since I had my first daughter 2 years ago and have been using it since then. So we're going to try to have a conversation with all three of us at one time. Hi.
Hello, how are you?
Is it really, what time is it there?
It's not, so sorry, I should have prefaced it with that. It's 1 a.m. in South Africa, where I'm currently visiting my partners in South Africa, but it's normal time, Australia time, so okay. All is well.
Okay, thank God.
How are you though?
I'm great, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Slightly exhausted, but we're here and I can't wait to chat.
I cannot believe that. I'm really excited too. I also saw that you have you have so much knowledge about breastfeeding and the amount of questions that we got just about, you know, the whole breastfeeding journey and also how different everyone's experiences are, I think is like the biggest part of just breastfeeding in general, is that like no two people's experiences and journeys are the same. And of course, we want to be talking about also just the fact that, did you use a Hakka or do you use a Hakka?
Absolutely. Yeah. So my background, so I'm Eliza, I'm a midwife. And I recently had my little girl who's just turned 5 months. So Hakka's been a massive part of my journey. And just like you said, even though I was a midwife, I went into it thinking that I was, you know, super prepared for breastfeeding, ready as anything. And my God, it's been a journey.
Yeah.
So it's been, a steep learning curve, but breastfeeding I think always is. And yeah, Hakka's been such a major part of that. So super excited to come chat through it. And I know you are a big Hakka fan. And
It's interesting because some people have either heard of Hakka and other people maybe haven't had the experience or the need for a Hakka. For me, and I would love to hear like how you became aware of it as well, just because for me, I had an oversupply with my first daughter. And so using a Hakka was a total game changer for me. And since then, I've recommended it to a lot of people and it's been so helpful for people who, you know, people that I know that have an oversupply that maybe don't want to start pumping because you don't want to increase your supply and be even more uncomfortable. I've loved their products for that purpose, especially, and also of course the fact that it's really easy to take anywhere and to transport with you helps a lot. But I know some people maybe haven't heard of it. So I definitely want to like talk about maybe why you used it and why you loved using it, just because I know everybody uses it for a different reason. Like, you know, maybe you're leaking and you want to use it that way and use the milk catchers. But but I think everybody has a different reason. And then also while you're talking, I'm going to try to get Candace on here so we can
have her. So the Hakka has lots and lots of products, but I think they're almost known for their pump, and it's almost, people just call it the Hakka pump, which is amazing. And I kind of first came to know about it. I've been a midwife for a fair while now, and I'd walk into rooms and women would be using them, and I'd be like, what is this amazing device you've got stuck on your other boob? I learned about it in the most organic way, and I've been working with the beautiful Hakka team for years now, educating and working with women, talking about breastfeeding and the difficulties and all of those kind of things. As you said, the Hakka pump can be used, you know, to express milk, just to replace a normal pump or a pump, and then to catch letdown on the other side, which has been what I've definitely done. And it's just amazing to build up a little freezer stash and not have to consciously think about it and worry, which, you know, gives you the freedom, because being a breastfeeding mum can sometimes feel a little claustrophobic. I don't know your feelings, but I've definitely felt a little bit of that with my little girl loves to feed every hour and a half. And so it can be a little bit claustrophobic. So having that freedom has been amazing with that, and not having to really think about creating a supply. Just cutting that down, which has been amazing. Yeah.
When it comes to breastfeeding, I mean, in your experience, because obviously you deal with a lot of mothers and also pregnant people, what is kind of like the biggest overall question or concern that people have postpartum that you seem to be dealing with people that you work with?
I think the most common question, and I think it's just a generational thing, is do I have enough milk? And if it's not the mum herself worrying if she has enough milk, it's her mum and her mother-in-law questioning, does she have enough milk in her supply? And I think that there's so much education to be done around breastfeeding. Every woman can kind of attest to the fact that we prepare so much for birth and somewhat for the postpartum and very little for breastfeeding. So I think, the most common is definitely, I don't have enough milk, I need to supplement formula, or, you know, they're breastfeeding, then they're expressing, then they're topping up, and it's this kind of crazy cycle. We know that in Australia, I think it's 96% of women leave hospital breastfeeding, and a couple of months down the line, that's, you know, almost halved. So it's definitely an issue that's so widespread, and mums just don't feel that they have enough milk, even though we know that the majority of mums, a very, very large majority of mums, will have plenty of supply, and that, you know, after that 6 to 8 week mark, the body regulates and your boobs become softer when you're feeding, and it's not about engorgement and things like that anymore. But that process is often missed, and mums definitely doubt their supply and if their babies are getting enough and things like that, which I think really can hinder the breastfeeding process, journey long term.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest question, we got a ton of questions just about breastfeeding in general and the entire journey and experience about breastfeeding. But I think the most common question that people had kind of over and over asked about was increasing supply and how to do that. So I definitely see that there's that stress and anxiety with people who are either currently breastfeeding or who are about to try to embark on their breastfeeding journey, is just this overall concern, especially you know, here in America, we do still have formula shortages and challenges for a lot of people to even access formula. And there is that stress there, in addition to just, you know, the stress of, will you be able to breastfeed? Because, you know, maybe your first experience might be different than your second experience, and or your third, or however many children you have.
When your furnace or air conditioner quits, you need it fixed, fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of CARE Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again, without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win the Lennox Partner of the Year Award and a BBB Torch Award for Ethics last year. So, call CARE Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
When it comes to women asking, you know, about increasing supply, what's your advice there?
So I guess the advice is always, why do you want to increase your supply? Well, let's look at it as a holistic view rather than just, how can I increase my supply? I think it's a lot of the time it's a knee-jerk reaction about, you know, I need to increase my supply. I'm not getting as much when I pump, or I'm not getting as much, you know, than I used to get, or things like that. And again, I think it all comes back to the conversation should be around, yeah, why do you think you need to increase your supply? Is your baby having good output? Is your baby's weight, you know, going well? Does your baby seem happy and fed once they've finished feeding? I guess, yeah, kind of making that a baseline question is really important. And then I always say working with a lactation consultant is so important. I think they're highly undervalued, and I think they're often used as a last resort. Again, you know, when things have gone terrible or to absolute shit, we go, oh my gosh, quickly, let's, you know, I need a reaction again. I need a lactation consultant. Right. But if you can see a lactation consultant during pregnancy and you can become educated on these topics, again, it's so powerful. But I think it always comes back to supply and demand. So we know that the more milk that you extract, the more milk you make. Our bodies are so clever like that. So the more we feed, the more milk that we make. And again, Same with pumping. So often mums will breastfeed and then pump to stimulate their supply, which is, you know, the number one way to increase your supply. And then looking at things like baby's latch, is baby adequately, you know, removing the milk from the breast or not? Is that where maybe why our supply is dipping? And then comes all the other kind of holistic factors, which are sleep, which is, you know, a tough one as a new mum, and hydration, and enough calories, which is another huge one that I've definitely found and I didn't really think about as a midwife, but I definitely struggled to eat enough calories to sustain breastfeeding, which burns upwards of 100 calories a day. Like, it's wild.
It's such a confusing thing also, like, this idea that you need to be eating a certain amount of calories after you have a baby, because there is, you know, when we live in a culture that's constantly talking about the bounce back, you know, of your body and your appearance. And then, you know, you work with someone who is either a doula or a midwife or a lactation consultant, or just somebody who's really knowledgeable about, you know, about pregnant women and also life postpartum. And it's always about nourishing your body and also about eating enough calories. So when I first had my first daughter, I remember being told, make sure you're eating enough. And I'm like, is this how this is supposed to go? I thought it was like, you're supposed to eat a lot when you're pregnant. And then when you're not pregnant, like, you go back to the way you ate. But it is, I mean, you hear so much about how hungry, you know, people get when they are breastfeeding, because, you know, your body's really working overtime to provide for your baby. So that was always something that I was like, this is not talked about. But when it comes to like a lactation consultant, I feel like people sometimes are like, when you have your baby, they're like, here's a lactation consultant for like 20 minutes. And then, you know, you never talk to them again, but you're saying to start that relationship while you're pregnant.
If I can, I always tell the lovely women that I'm working, that I look after, to see someone in pregnancy. It not only gets you familiar with that person so that you know you've got someone there, but you can also chat about things like what to expect. Like, you know, they could chat about, for example, antenatal expressing. So expressing milk during pregnancy that you'll have, you know, ready for all postpartum, which sets you off, you know, in a great way towards that breastfeeding journey. There's just so much we can learn in pregnancy to help postpartum, and I think it's super undervalued. We're so focused on the birth, and, you know, rightly so. Birth is such an amazing rite of passage, but it is, you know, normally a 24-hour period, and breastfeeding, you know, optimally is 6 months exclusively. So I think it's such a longer process than birth is. I think we definitely need to put more emphasis on it, and the change right in the beginning. Breastfeeding is, oh my God, I struggled. It was so difficult those first few weeks. Tiny little mouths, and so just, oh my gosh, they're tiny and you're trying to hold them and everything's sore and awkward, you know, to right now where my little one is 5 months and is so distracted when she's feeding and ripping off and looking around, and, you know, there's just constant challenges, right?
So yeah, I'm glad that you have a similar experience with your child now.
Oh my gosh, there's some things that I will never say again as a midwife, like breastfeeding is free, or it's, you know, it shouldn't be painful ever, and all these things that I used to, you know, say all the time, and now I've experienced them, I'm never going to say them again. So it's been a good learning curve. But what was your kind of, what did you find your main challenges with your first bump?
I mean, really, like, and I always say this now when people are saying, oh, how is your baby sleeping? Because she just turned 4 months. And I'm like, she's sleeping well, but what's crazy to me is you always talk about, people are always like, oh, just wait till they start sleeping. But then if you're breastfeeding, you're not sleeping because you're getting up to either pump or to use the haka and, you know, to, you know, relieve yourself because your boobs get so full that you just like can't sleep, and then you're leaking in bed. Like it's like a whole thing that's like, okay, that's so great that they're sleeping, but like, you're not sleeping. You're still getting up and
you're exhausted.
And doing that whole thing. So I think, like, for me, both times I've definitely needed to use the haka a lot, just so I'm not like overstimulating to increase my supply. And, and I feel like it was the perfect thing to have, especially in the beginning of both of my postpartum journeys. I literally think that like every single night by my bedside was just a huge thing of water and my haka's just like all in a row, because you really, Like, it was the way to make sure you didn't get crazy engorged, or you didn't get mastitis, or, you know, you didn't get sick. And I think, like, in the beginning for me, I had like one night where I felt really feverish and like I had the chills and I was very engorged. And then I met the Hakka, and I feel like instantly I had like relief there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I don't know if you've ever tried their ladybugs.
Yes.
So that's what I used going to sleep at night, which is amazing. I just put them in my bra and went to sleep at night. Something I also never really thought about was I hated the feeling of waking up with milk everywhere. It just grossed me out. I hated being wet and ugh, all the time. And so I would just put them in and go to sleep and wake up and there'd be milk in there. And it was phenomenal. And then, yeah, so that was another great little Hakka hack. They're brilliant. I still use them now. So they're amazing. And then I guess there's less suction with those. So you can just put them in your top and walk around if you don't want to create an oversupply. They're brilliant as well.
That's awesome. Hooray.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, Catherine. How are you? I'm Candace.
Hi, nice to meet you. I had said in the beginning when we were trying to do all three of us at once, I was like, I've tried this so many times.
I know.
And it never works. All three. So
I know. I'm in the background. I'm like exiting. I'm joining back in. I'm trying to figure out the login. I'm like, oh my gosh.
I know. Well, I'm so glad that you're on here and that we're able to chat, because like, as I had said before, the amount of questions that had come in just about breastfeeding, and really curious about just everybody's breastfeeding experiences, and trying to get some of these awesome questions answered. But before we do that, why don't you introduce yourself so we kind of get a good idea of what to expect and also where this conversation will be going.
Okay. I am Candace Echeverria. I'm co-owner of Goldilocks Lactation Consulting in Los Angeles. Myself and my business partner, who is also my best friend, and she is also named Candace. Wow. We are the Candaces of Goldilocks. We provide lactation support, postpartum support, doula support virtually worldwide, as well as in-home here in Los Angeles. So it is all we do.
Awesome.
It's all we do, and we love it. So
I love that. I mean, I have been so lucky to be able to have doulas in my life, and I absolutely just think the world of them. And yeah. My mom constantly is remarking at how different the care is from a doula, and just being able to have that in your postpartum experience is such a huge gift. Because it makes the healing process and also the journey postpartum, I think, so different from what I've been able to see from people who don't even necessarily have somebody to call and say, like, how are you doing? Are you making sure you're drinking enough water? Those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So I actually was introduced to Hakka through a doula. And I had mentioned it earlier in this conversation that I was introduced to it because I had an oversupply with my first daughter. Mm-hmm. And so after like the first week and a half, I finally got my hands on a Hakka, and it was such a huge relief to be able to have the option to use a Hakka and not be concerned about overproducing even more by using a mechanical pump, and be able to use a Hakka to just give myself relief.
Yeah.
And so the second time around, when I just had my second daughter, I was like, I'm going to be a pro at this because I have one. I have a couple now. And it's been such a huge part of my whole breastfeeding journey, and something that I'm constantly telling other people about. Mm-hmm. But we were talking a little bit before just about the breastfeeding journey and how so many people had written in asking about increasing their milk supply. I want to, just because, you know, you're so immersed in this world of breastfeeding, and it is such a interesting subject matter that people have such different experiences. And for some people, it's not the best experience. And it comes with a huge amount of guilt and is a really emotional journey. I've seen a lot of my girlfriends experience that they feel guilty they can't provide for their baby. They put a huge amount of pressure on themselves to make a certain amount of milk. Can you talk a little bit about that and how we can kind of help those moms out in that journey? Because I think it's such a challenging experience.
It is. Breastfeeding is so challenging. And the thing is that it's such a uniquely individual process. It doesn't look the same for everyone. There is no one size fits all recipe for a milk supply. You know, every parent's body is different. We don't have any control who we're giving birth to. So like you said, you know, one journey can be completely different than the other. And that was actually my experience. I had a very easy birth with my first, and I wanted nothing more than to breastfeed her. And about 4 months in, I realized that it just wasn't going to happen the way that I wanted it to. My body was just fried. I dealt with postpartum depression, a wave of guilt for sure. And I think that sometimes when we don't prepare parents for this journey of feeding their baby once their baby has arrived, because there's so much emphasis on childbirth, as you know, and the entire medical community, you know, explains childbirth to you. So you go into that part kind of having an idea, and you have a team of professionals around you ready to handle anything that comes your way. And then you're not really adequately set up for how to keep this baby alive. And if you're trying to keep this baby alive with your own body, that comes with a ton of pressure, tons of expectations that you've not only placed on yourself, but that your partner may also have placed on you, your family, your relatives, your friends. You know, everyone's expecting you to do a great job at this because it's so natural, right? And you know, a lot of us get into it and we're like, whoa, this is nothing that I expected it to be. Everything hurts. I want to cry all the time and I don't know what to do. The guilt that comes with having to supplement if you can't provide enough for your baby. I think it's really important to get down to the roots of why we think our milk supply may not be enough. There are so many factors that go into it physically, first off, with the lactating parent. Secondly, environmentally, what's going on in the house? How are you feeling? Are you stressed? Are you going through any other transitions? Because childbirth is a huge one. Hello. And then you pile life on top of it. And we live in a society here in the US. We're both from LA. We're representing Haka USA. They've developed products for everyone here in the US who really has to live in a two-income household these days. Yeah. You know, you have working parents who are, they're popping their babies out and then they're going home and they're having to prep for getting back to work. Sometimes in the first month of getting home, you know, so we need to really prep these families for what is coming and understanding that breastfeeding is a full body activity. So we have to understand and be aware of all of the other factors that go into it. And then on top of that, we have to examine our babies and make sure that there's nothing anatomically going on that would prevent them from being able to build an adequate supply with you. So we have solutions for all of it, but we really need to get down to why that is happening and why that's a concern in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, I remember really well going in for my kind of my post-labor appointment 6 weeks later. And I was talking to my OBGYN and I was telling her like, oh yeah, I've been breastfeeding. And she was like, how's that going? And I was like, it's just so much more work than I had thought that it was going to be. Because I think we look at breastfeeding and we're just like, oh, it's natural, which, you know, it is, but it is also a huge amount of work. You spend a ton of time, you know, either pumping or using the Haka or using the little ladybugs or, you know, just also caring for yourself in your breastfeeding experience separate from your baby.
Yeah. You know, like how do you do that?
Yeah. Making sure you're not engorged, making sure everything is clean, sterilizing everything, making sure that you, you know, are preparing everything properly. Or if you feel like you're getting engorged, making sure you get right on top of that because you don't want to get sick from it or get mastitis. Right. How can you increase your supply if you have a dip to make sure you're providing enough for your baby? So there's a lot there. And then on top of it, you have this newborn that you're, you know, caring for, and your own body. And I remember her saying to me, it's not so natural, is it? And I was like, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's such a crazy experience. And I always see these, because I follow so many different breastfeeding accounts now, but I see all these little, you know, images of just like how much time and energy goes into feeding your baby when you're breastfeeding. And it's a lot. I mean, it's
people,
like,
people say all the time, oh, it's free. I'm like, yeah. No, it's not. It is so far from free. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not free. You know, if we were to add up everything that goes into it, it's a full-time job and then some, you know, because it's everything that you listed. I mean, as you're going down the list, I'm like, and, you know, it's not free. It's definitely not. So it does get easier at times, you know, for people, and it can actually become so fun and so comfortable and so enjoyable and so relaxing and but it takes some initial work to get there. And I think that's really where we come in. You know, what are we dealing with right from the very beginning? What can we troubleshoot with you? What can we do to help you understand how individual of a process this is for you? And let's let it look however it needs to look for you guys in order to, for you to feel successful.
Yeah.
That's really our goal.
Yeah. And I think that that is, I mean, having that support system is such a huge gift. And I'm sure so many people that you work with tell you that, that just having somebody even just to like sit down and explain, you know, how to go about those things. Because I think a lot of people, you know, for some people it comes really naturally and baby just latches on right when they're born. And for a lot of other people, it takes a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of work. And then some people, it just doesn't work. And, you know, they have to go a different route. And at the end of the day, fed is best. So as long as your baby is fed and doing well, then that's like the best thing that you could possibly do. And also just being able to have, you know, access to people like yourself where people can feel supported in their journey and then also be introduced to things. Like I never would have known about a haka or even that, like I remember people being like, just pump, just go ahead and pump. If you have someone, like, if you feel like engorged, like that's not how it works.
Then you have to figure that out.
Yeah.
You have to figure all of that out. And
exactly.
I like to say fed is definitely best, but loved is best. Like we want you guys to feel loved. We're not raising happy, healthy kids because we are breastfeeding them or body feeding them or chest feeding them. However it feels best for you to say it. Mm-hmm. We are raising healthy, happy kids because they're loved. And part of loving them is learning about how we can feed them, and we can feed them in a multitude of different ways. We at Goldilocks, we always say we love formula if it's used as a tool for you to feel more successful. And if you are giving your all to breastfeeding, and we have explored all of the avenues in which that can happen for you, any amount of breast milk is better than none. And if we have to use formula to make up the difference, let's do that. And let's celebrate every single time you get to use your own body to feed your baby. I just, it looks beautiful no matter how you spin it. You know, you just, that support is key.
Yeah. And I mean, I know that we're almost out of time, but just before we go, when it comes to your experience as, you know, dealing with so many women who are breastfeeding and on their breastfeeding journeys, and also just people who've just had babies, when it comes to the different things that you like to, you know, have a woman use ahead of their breastfeeding journey, and have on hand, aside from like a large jug of water, which like, I literally feel like I have in every single area of my home.
Yeah.
what are the things? Cause I know that like haka has incredible products, but some people just have never even heard of a haka or know how to use a haka or what the purpose of one is. So could you explain that just a little bit?
I think the only two things really that I recommend during a breastfeeding prep session would be a haka and a good electric pump. that you break out of the box, that you learn how to put together, that you have on hand, even that you take to the hospital with you. Because in these times, we don't know how understaffed our hospitals are going to be, and we don't know how many medical grade pumps are going to be available, right? So we want to make sure that we have a HACA because, like you said, we always benefit from less amounts of stimulation if we are consistently latching our babies at the breast. So learning how to latch a HACA to the breast is so effective in even colostrum collection prior to, and they also have these amazing silicone colostrum collectors. Mm-hmm. So those are great to use prior to delivery, and then making sure that you have a good electric pump on hand. I think that especially in our culture, we are satiated with products, you know, and I feel like if I can just narrow it down to two things, and we don't know what else is going to come up. We don't know if you're going to need a nipple shield. We don't know what else you're going to need, an SNS feeding system maybe. But I really try to focus on the essentials, which are, to me, a HACA, a good electric pump, your body, and comfortable feeding surfaces. And then I get over there and I get you the most comfortable I possibly can. And we talk about all of the ways to make this body feeding the most comfortable for you, mind, body, soul. You are the lactating parent. You are the most important part of this scenario, and your comfort is number one priority for me.
I love that. Yeah, I love that. I think that's so great. And I think just, like, you know, also encouraging people that are about to embark on this journey that, you know, there are so many different ways that this can go, and that your body is your body, and it's going to do whatever it's meant to do. And that, whatever way, whatever the outcome is, that that's a beautiful and amazing thing. And, just being a support system for everybody in whatever route their body takes them is.
Yes. I think it's so important to remember that our bodies showed up for us the entire pregnancy.
Yeah.
Whatever that looked like, you know? So if we go into this feeling confident and trusting that our bodies will also show up for the feeding process and reaching out for help as we need it, not waiting, not trying to figure it out on our own, asking, you know, lactation consultants in your area, if they're not affordable to you, do you work with us anyway? You know, can we figure something out? Most of us will, you know, it's not, this should not be looked at as a boutique service in any way. You know, we're here for everybody. So it's really important to trust that and to know that.
That's amazing. Well, thank you so much. And I'll make sure that we put all of your guys' handles in the, you know, description of this video, because I think it's so important for people to have access to someone like you, and also someone like Eliza, just to be able to, you know, have as good of an experience breastfeeding as possible, and have all the resources and tools and support that they need. So thank you so much for having this conversation and for being patient as
well. Yes.
How to get
going. No.
Thank you.
It was so nice to meet you. And so you nice too, Eliza. You. I'm sorry we couldn't all be on together, but hey. And thank you, HACA USA, for having us, and HACA New Zealand for hosting and getting it all together. Thank you guys so much. We're so honored to know you all. And thank you for inviting us in and talking with us today. And congratulations on number two.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. You too. Bye.